Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the It's Become a Whole Thing podcast. I'm your host, Emily Rose, and I'm here with everyone's favorite co-host, Big Papa Sammy.
Hi.
Hi.
I've just watched about 16 hours of Drag Race in the last 2 days, so I actually don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I'm sorry for being annoying.
I've been waiting for years for you to get back on the train. Years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just needed some like sick days at home to really like buckle down. So I went through all of this season of US. I'm all caught up on that. And now I'm working my way through season 5 UK. And when I'm done that, it'll be on to Mexico.
Yes. Yes.
And then maybe Canada.
You know what? Canada's not that bad. It's okay. Really, it's pretty busted in some seasons, but... you know, the budget is maybe not quite at a level you might expect, but the jokes are that it's
at a level you might expect. Is that's so Canadian. It's like, listen, the budget for this, it might not reach the bar of what you think the lowest bar may be.
Like... yes, it is taped together by duct tape and just a hope and a dream.
Yeah, take your expectations, smash them with a hammer. And then the pieces are kind of where we're going to be at.
Just have a good old fucking time there, bud.
Yeah. We'll be getting vaccinated in a dirty old Zellers. Dusty.
Very that. It's like, very that. It's
gonna
yes.
It's going to be Soviet vibes, but like just be grateful for what you get.
For whatever you get. Mm-hmm. I've gone the opposite route. Well, not the opposite, but a parallel route. I'm watching The Great British Bake Off.
So good.
It is.
I love the way they pull together, support each other.
It's extremely wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yet at the same time, I think the British are allowed to say things that we cannot, like publicly. Yeah. I mean, they're so incredibly wholesome and sweet and like nerdy and supportive. But then occasionally, you know, the host will go up, like lean over like one of the female contestants and be like, so how did it feel when you reached into that big bag and grabbed that sausage, eh? It's like, oh, you know, and hey, that's how the good old boys used to joke around. In North America, maybe HR would step in, but in sunny old UK, you can...
It's always sunny in the UK.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, they definitely have a little bit more leeway because they have that charm. They have that cheeky little charm. And I don't know what happened here in North America, but the charm department is low, perilously low.
You can't say anything anymore.
It's like, how about with a wink and a nod? You know, you'd be surprised, I think, what you could get away with if you had a lighthearted attitude about it. But everyone just is so creepy when they make their sausage comments, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I know, we could stand to do a little more taking the piss out of our mates.
Yeah, we could take the piss out of ourselves a lot more and one another.
Even that, like, why does it sound clinical when I say that? I want to take the piss out of my mates. Like, it sounds terrifying, you know? We just can't hang like that.
No, I know. Something's missing. Something happened to us, the divorced cousins of our UK ancestors.
Teach us your ways.
Yeah.
I think the common denominator here is we're resorting to wholesome television to comfort ourselves in these troubling times.
Yeah, and culturally, I mean, it could not, like, the show's UK Drag Race and a great British Bake Off could not be more different in terms of the American sausage making machine of reality TV. Like, it really is a whole different flavor profile, and we are diving into that today with a soulless piece of machinery.
I know, the dark place that this brought me to is something we're gonna explore. Seeing Nick Viall in HD on my TV alongside Patty Stanger was simply a cursed duo that I wasn't mentally prepared for.
I had no idea that Nick Viall was, if not 50, 60, 70% of the show going into it. Like, he's not on the poster. He's not mentioned. It's like, Patty is back. The matchmaker is back. We're dropping Millionaire. We're doing fucking influencers. God help us. You know, I was like, okay, that's all. I'm on board with all that. And then who do I see? But fucking Nick Viall. And I've already been exposed to him for so many hours of the last few days because he keeps getting these fucking exclusives on his podcast. I had to watch Monica reveal her pregnancy on his podcast from Salt Lake City. I had to watch Schwartz's first interview alongside his girlfriend Sasha on Nick Viall's podcast. I'm like, I'm literally going to go into my kitchen and Nick Viall is going to fucking be in there. Like, and he's going to be like, I'll be taking you to work. I'll be baking your meals from now on. Like, get used to it.
Nick Viall's going to be in your kitchen. He's going to be like, you see, the thing you don't understand about dating is something like, I'm just going to break it down for you because it's something that's like hard for you to grasp with your woman brain.
He's going to be like, oh, you're going to wear that? Okay. I just wasn't sure if you're sure. You're sure? All right.
Yeah. Nick Viall, the author of Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday and Other Advice on Love, Sex, and Dating, or from the Viall Files. We've harped on him here before on this very podcast, but in case anyone has not been subjected to as many clips as we have, what qualifies him to be a dating expert is that he was kind of playing the field, getting to experience different sides of life until finally, when he was pushing 40, he settled down with a young 20-year-old, Natalie Joy. And look, just because you find someone who has to wait in the car while you buy them alcohol, it doesn't mean they're not an old soul and
ready to be a mother, ready to carry your seed as soon as possible, ready to move in with you and start podcasting with you. You know, don't worry about making it official or whatever. I don't know. Are they married? No, they're not.
Yeah, they're engaged.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, honestly.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No, nor does it matter that everyone's frontal cortex is fully developed in this scenario. None of that really matters. What matters is the heart of the matter. Also, with just going to our other expert here, Patty, we have done an episode covering the classic Millionaire Matchmaker, and Patty seems in this reboot like they partially lobotomized her before they put her back on TV, you know, like she's been really toned down, and it's no surprise that there's been no live interviews. You know, they're not gonna let her like pull a JoJo Siwa on the red carpet by any means. They're gonna take a heavy hand to editing with her because
I know, well, I was shocked at the omission of the banana scene. Like, I'm like, what is something wrong with my TV? Like, she's like, I will be demonstrating how to give oral on this banana. And then nothing. Cut to commercial?
Yeah. Yeah, the old Patty would have been deep throwing that banana.
Been sucking and fucking that banana on screen for all to see.
And then forcing her contestants to do the same right in front of her.
And that's what I was tuning in for. Like, I like, Patty is the ultimate like somebody who's working so hard every minute to not be canceled. Like she's just like every minute she's just like pinching her wrist like, Patty, don't say it. I know you've got comments. I know you've got questions about that person's race and gender identity. Like, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, and you want to tell a woman speaking up for themselves to chop off their dick? That's one of her favorite lines. She loves that. You know, I don't even think that she was censoring herself. I pictured it more as some kind of like shock collar scenario where there's someone just sitting in a room. Because I don't think she has. I don't think she has the perception.
Yeah, it could just be a heavy-handed editor who's helping her out. Like they just let her go off and then they clip around her.
Yeah, because some people know, you know, some people have those thoughts and they're like, you know, I'll save this for off camera. I don't think she has that in her.
Yeah, I mean, she's certainly, life has taken her around the track. She's been humbled. She's been through it. She's had times of feast and famine and here she is. Like, she might have learned. She might have changed. I don't know. I mean, she certainly hasn't changed telling women to soften the fuck up and shut the fuck up. And
where's the feast? Because it's not in her own love life and it's not with her successful matches, which I don't believe she's had one. She said she's had thousands.
She's like, I've set up thousands of dates. It's like, yeah, and? Like, no, what? Actually, how many of them ended in disaster?
I wrote this down. I've successfully made thousands of matches. Like, not just dates, matches. And I say, show me one. Show me one.
You know what is kind of feminist, actually, is that she has been in the same career for so long with so little success. And she's doing something she's not meant to do. She's not good at herself. She can't find love. She never has. She's alone. She's, you know, quite bitter. But she's working in this love field and trying to create lasting love despite, you know, not having any of the skills herself nor being able to teach them. So it's like, how often are we allowed to fail for 30 years at something and still be highly paid and have good name recognition in our field? Like, that's the territory of a man.
No, it's actually so true. Going in there and billing yourself as an extremely successful matchmaker. You know, she still had her line. Mm-hmm. I'm a third generation matchmaker. You know, I checked back with her website, millionairesclub123.com. And if I hadn't watched so much Millionaire Matchmaker back in the day, I would have thought that this site was a phishing scam. It looks in every way like a phishing scam that's going to sell your data. But no, she's still at it. And she's still... She offers millionaire matchmaking for $120,000, but also she still has all of her other side hustles. So Pretty Pal Makeover, Ask Patty program for $250 a question. She has a service. She has all kinds of services, actually, not just on this website. One was attracting a soulmate, which took me right to a PayPal link. And so I had to look, what is this? They send you subliminal recordings to attract your soulmate for $75. What? Yeah.
Wait, you listen to them subliminally?
No, I didn't send the $75.
No, but wait, what is the service? They send you like email links of clips that you subliminally listen to quietly?
It's like, I think it's like those YouTube videos that are like, like, it's like...
You're gonna meet a sexy man at the grocery store.
Yeah. it's like boop, 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 boop. Like it's just like sounds, and then it's like, oh, okay. It's like, this is like get money fast, you know? And
it's
like,
it's vibrational.
It's like, yeah, 8 hours subliminal, like you're supposed to like put it on while you sleep or something.
I wasn't sure. Like the only reference I had was like that storyline on Friends about like trying to quit smoking by listening to tapes at night that say like, you're a strong, powerful woman, you don't need smoking, you don't need to. Remember that? I know. I guess you're not a Friends fan.
No.
Sorry to bring it up. It was a hilarious one, but
yeah, to be there. There. Yeah, no, that's I don't know, actually. I don't know the full details about this particular service of hers, but
we're getting a good overview of what she offers. She does one-on-one counseling. She does $250 a question answer, kind of like a Dear Abby column,
Dear
like
Patty.
A, sort of a Carrie Bradshaw kind of thing. But then $120,000 a pop to match a millionaire with a young woman. How is that not human trafficking?
Well, it's less human trafficking than her Sexy Sidekick program, which I also looked into, and it's billed as too shy to introduce yourself to that beautiful girl at the bar or lounge, not sure what to say or how to approach her, then the Sexy Sidekick is the package for you. A night on the town with a gorgeous girl who will be your best wingman. She will up your confidence while taking on the awkward moments of meeting someone for the first time.
Okay, so Patty is a bit of a Ghislaine. A bit of a Ghislaine Maxwell vibe here. Mm-hmm. Like, if you need a woman on your arm to be like, hey girls, like, come on over here, we've got the shots, oh my god, you got to meet my friend, he is so great, he's super successful too, like, I can't even believe he's single, like, really in there with the models and actresses. I mean, I feel like she's got to know Randall Emmett.
Oh, I mean, she probably knew Epstein. Like, when you said Ghislaine, I'm like, that makes perfect sense. But she's like a cockroach in that she's avoided cancellation. She's been unfazed, entered seamlessly into this modern world.
Here she is. Like, just seeing her in that poster, I was like, I felt emotional. I was like, wow, she is a fucking survivor. Like, here she is. Like, I cannot believe it. Like, she was so problematic on TV for so long. She's like, all I care about is that women are white and thin with long, straight blonde hair. And that's all I want to be. And that's all any woman should want to be. And quiet. Even mm-hmm. though, like, she's like such a loudmouth and so outspoken. But it's like, here she is living her dream. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And she has found love. I did, before I tuned in, I had to look into her relationship status, and she has found love. She met a guy on Tinder a couple months ago.
Not Tinder. I can't believe she said the word Tinder.
She said Tinder. Yep, on a podcast.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Late last year. Yeah, she said recently.
It's almost admirable how, like, bold she is at, like, undermining her own brand and, like, just living out loud.
Yeah, you couldn't even lie and say Raya.
You couldn't even lie and just say, like, come on, just say we met in person and I charmed him. Like, I can at least get a guy's number. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I used my own techniques. Yeah, that's true. I know, she could have said in person and no one would have been the wiser.
Yeah.
And if people were like, oh, but I saw her on Tinder, she could have said, oh, it was a fake profile.
Or I didn't meet anyone. It wasn't good. Like, I much prefer input. Like, come on. Like, hype up your own shit that you do.
I haven't even heard of any D-list celebrities on Tinder. Usually they're on Bumble if they're not on
Raya. That's true. I mean, but yeah, there was a time pre-Raya, but we're talking 2 months ago. Okay, so I don't know. I mean, it's wild.
I mean, I know. I mean, I was kind of surprised when, you know, Garcelle from The Real Housewives was on Bumble. But I guess, if you talk about Raya, I think publicly they kick you off. So that, mm-hmm. I guess that would make sense for the show that she'd be on
and
a public.
Some people can't get on. I know there's lots of people from The Bachelor that get denied on Raya. Hence why we see some of them in this episode.
Yeah. Let's get into this episode. So Patty's back. She's still a third generation matchmaker. She's still extremely successful in her own words, except this time she's expanding from matching millionaires to now matching pavos alike, you know, just
yeah,
the regular
as long as,
folks.
But they have to be famous. Yeah. Everyone they showed in the preview it's going to be like Nick dredging up people from Bachelor Nation, her dredging up people from Bravo, and I think they're just going to be working their connections like two pimps out there on the fucking street corner trying to see, who can I get in here that's got some followers that's going to get some eyeballs on this show?
I don't think it's that hard. I think if you want someone who was on a canceled Bravo show, you can have them. You know, they're there. They're available.
Yeah. I mean, but I think that this brand association with these two people that have been on the show is helpful. Like, I think if they tried to relaunch a matchmaker show with nobody recognizable, they might have a harder time getting people to be on it because they don't know if it's going to be a complete shit show, embarrassing disaster show.
True. The show seemed pretty glossy, like pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a budget. They rented a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where Patty and Nick pretend to like play house and together. Like, they'll just be sitting in the kitchen, like thumbing through photos. Like, so, what do you think? It's just so odd. Like, I'm just like, just film in an office. Like, why do we need to like have this Barbie dream house like set? It's weird.
I know. It did feel a bit like a Netflix show, kind of like a Selling Sunset, where it's like they have to pretend to work. They have to pretend to be like typing away into their database. But we meet Gigi from Shaws of Sunset. She's 44. She said that she's been single for 7 years, but she pushes people away and hasn't had sex in a long time. She said she needs WD-40, which made me chuckle.
Down there, if you know what we mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And she gets kind of grilled by Patty and Nick. Nick is sitting lean back with his arms folded and kind of eyeing her up and down. The whole thing was fine, I guess. I guess that's better than what they used to do. They used to bring prospective women in. They would be grabbing at them, be like, yeah, lifting their boobs up
and be 360 groped and tugged and
yeah. But she said her main issue is that she's insecure sexually because she doesn't like to do freaky stuff in a lot of different positions. And I'm like, how many positions are people doing these days? Because I'm tired.
Wait, what are you guys doing? I think that she's definitely a very troubled person. Like she's like, this deeply is somebody who, like, her problems were just radiating off of her at such a high rate. Like I watched Shaws of Sunset for a bit many years ago, so it's kind of forgotten, but she definitely always brought the drama and was always like a very fiery, problematic person. So gorgeous, like seriously one of the most beautiful people on Bravo, I would say. But yeah, when you're that pretty and you can't find like anyone to date, and like there's gotta be some major stuff. And we got a little taste of that. She's like, listen, she got into a bit of her childhood trauma. Like she's like, everyone said I was like having sex with the whole football team, so it just made me like shut down sexually forever, and now I just lie there like a starfish, wait for it to be over. Like, dear God, like you need intensive therapy.
Yeah, I wondered if there's like trauma and some kind of physiological issue, because I'm like, the amount you're bringing this up, like I just haven't really heard a lot about adults being worried about their sexual skills. I feel like it's not that complicated to figure out the basics of it. Like compatibility, I guess, is another thing, but like to be like, my skills are lacking, like what do you...
Well, it always comes back to, I think, trauma and like the person being so shut down, shut off. Like even like Ariana talking about it on Vanderpump Rules, like her vagina like basically like sealing itself shut, like from like a lack of trust and openness, and like things have been done and you just like your body just can't relax at that point. And it's like the last thing this woman needs is to be paraded out on Millionaire Matchmaker and like put through like four speed dates that she doesn't want to be on, because she's just... I felt bad for her. I did feel she was a bit exploited.
She talked about her trauma, and Nick said, I know psychologist, but it sounds like you have unresolved childhood trauma. And Patty said, I want a strong divorced dad who can pull out your feminine side.
To Patty, like, there's no trauma that the right dick couldn't just clear right up.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know what? That doesn't sound so bad. A strong divorced dad who can...
I liked who they picked for her, and I liked the brief. Yeah, I thought she's like, she wants someone confident, someone, you know, charismatic, sexy, because she's very like abrasive and like shut down and defensive, and she needs someone who will like bring that out. And we watched her like basically abuse like three guys first. Like,
okay, I didn't think it was that bad. We're gonna get into her dates in a minute here, but I thought she was just like, she was just joshing them. I'm like, come on, can't you guys hang?
I thought she was extremely rude and mean to that first guy. Like, I was shocked. My mouth was agape.
Okay, well we'll get to that in a second here, but we meet our second bachelor. I'm glad they're keeping the format. We got one woman and one man per show, just as God intended. So we have Justin, who's 29. He works in finance, and I was like, this guy looks familiar. And then he's like, so I was on Katie's season of The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is all coming together, it's all making sense. And his main issue is that he has extremely high standards and that he's very picky, in his own words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that he like will date these girls for 3 months, 6 months, something like that. But he doesn't want to post them on Instagram. He doesn't want to claim them because he already knows they're not good enough for him. And then just strings them along until he's done with them and dismisses them. So,
yeah. But they ask him what his perfect woman would be. And he said someone who makes him laugh and doesn't take themselves too seriously. And they're intellectual. They have a good family. They're good looking. isn't that what they all say? And his main issue in his last relationship was that he didn't want to post this girl on Instagram. So I'm guessing he was probably dating around.
He said he was exclusive with her for 6 months, but just knew she wasn't the one. So just didn't want to be publicly like associated with her like that.
Yeah. And whatever they did to Patty, whether it was like, I don't know, partial lobotomy or they've just drugged her a little bit, she's very checked out. But then occasionally the old Patty peeks her head. She goes, look, if you want to be a billionaire, which you do, you have to be married. All I know billionaires are married because they can shut their brain off when they have a good woman and they can focus on finance and making money.
I think she was bleeped, but I think she said something like, when your mind's not on fucking or like pussy or something like that, then you can really focus on your business. And like they kind of like, well, like took a minute to like hear what she said and then we moved on. But I was like, damn, okay, Patty, like Patty is so like violently heteronormative. She's like, if you guys don't fucking get married to a nice girl, you will lose everything.
Yeah, with a good woman in the kitchen, there's nothing a man can't do.
And Patty would never cook a meal. Like, it's just so funny. Like, how do you like be like a trad wife spokesperson and be so the opposite of that yourself? I can't imagine how she sleeps at night.
And a wealthy CEO. I don't think she thinks about it too much. I don't think she worries about it.
No, she doesn't.
No. But they say that they want to set Justin up with someone who's not the girl he wants, but the girl he needs. And I'm like,
Already, it's just like, I hate when they do this. I hate when they do this. I'm like, just try to give these idiots exactly what they want so I can at least see a decent date that's like not that awkward.
Yeah. Well, they talk about his two prospects. Becca, a social butterfly who loves boat days.
Like, God. Wow. That's who I'm trying to be.
Me? I know. Me too. I was like, I want to love boat days. Like,
social butterfly loves boat days. I should put that on a shirt and start wearing it around. Maybe I'll get more invites.
Manifest. I know. If any listeners want to invite us to their boat days, please. And then we have Carla, who said she's 32 and she is very competitive. And I'm curious about your thoughts about this, because I remember when I was on the dating apps, I would see this a lot. Someone would be like, I'm really competitive. And I'm like, am I just a weak person? Because I find that a really weird way to describe yourself as one of your main attributes, and it scares me
a lot. It's so off-putting. Well, especially from a man. Like, I could handle a girl boss who's competitive, whatever. I have a few friends like that. But like, when a man describes himself as competitive, I'm like, okay, so you're telling me you're a psycho. Like, you're like, I'm fucking Patrick Bateman.
Like, no, I mean, like, even if I would consider myself, like, you know, if it's board game time, I'll get competitive, but I wouldn't describe that.
You don't want to lead with that. It's not necessarily a positive quality.
Well, even for, actually, on my first date with Oliver, we ended up, somehow this came up, and he was like, yeah, so many women, like, the first thing on their profile is like, I'm very competitive. And he was like, very freaked out by that. I was like, what do you mean?
It's scary. Yeah, I know. Does everything in life have, is everything in life a competition to you? Like, are you mad to hear about people's successes because you wish you were doing better than them? Do you love to dominate all creatures? Like, I don't know what that means to you, and it scares me.
Yeah. And even if it's true, it's like this in the same way that I'm not going to put on my profile, like, my main thing that I love to do is rotting and
doing nothing.
Yeah. Doing nothing and watching Bravo and smoking weed. Like, I'm not putting that out.
But arguably you should. Like, I don't know. I mean, should people just have like very
I love astrology, Bravo, and pop music. Come on. Like, that is something. All I have to do is get my foot in the door and trap them with my delightful charm and then lay it on them, like, almost immediately after.
I know. And I mean, like, I'm no prize, especially looking at the conditions of this show. But I could not imagine flopping on dates as much as these people are. I'm like, damn, like, you can't find one thing to joke about, one interesting thing to talk about, like, with each other. They're just, like, staring aimlessly and, like, having really, like, over-the-top reactions to, like, when the first girl tells him her age. And she's like, I'm 32. And he's like, ugh.
Yeah, he shook his head.
He shook his head and looked down and just looked like he's gonna be sick. And then she's like, well, how old are you? And he's like, 29. Okay. Like, he's like, you're old enough to be my mom.
Yeah, like, I almost expected him to be like 29 and a half. Like, what? What is this reaction to a 32-year-old?
Oh, no, that was crazy. But it's just like, you can tell he's not attracted to these girls. Like, they're not as skinny enough for him. They're not, like, whatever enough for him. Like, he's dating this, like, California cheerleader blonde little girl now. And it's just hard to watch, like, a career woman who's a size 8 go on a date to just be, like, degraded and thrown away by someone. I hate it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Absolutely. So they set him up, or no, first they pivot to Gigi and they want to set her up with Gabrielle, this Italian salt and pepper daddy who I was ready to go on. Absolutely. A glass blowing date.
He was so handsome. He mm-hmm. had, his manners were right. He said, I love to treat a woman right. I love to cook. I love to, you know, he pulled out the chair for her. He did everything right. No flop on his part at all.
No, none. I know. It was great. But they say because she's so out of practice, she needs to go on 3 speed date, mini dates to get herself back in the game. Patty goes, men aren't strong themselves and wanting a strong woman these days. They're terrified of that. And I feel like she's referring to the Me Too movement. Subtly. I feel like she's like, not maybe consciously, but the way she said men are terrified of a strong woman these days. I was like, what do you mean these days?
Yeah, it's not like when you look back in history, like in American history, the last 100 years, you were like, back in the day, like, yeah, a woman was, you know, the head of the household.
Yes, exactly. Because the only time I hear people say like, oh, these days men are scared, is men who are talking about like, oh, you know, now it's like they're scared to make a move on a woman because they don't know what they're going
to say. Hello to my secretary. She's going to say that I R-worded her.
Yeah, like literally. So just because she said these days that they're terrified of that, I was like, okay, Patty, sure. And then she says that being self-reliant is, by being self-reliant, Gigi is attracting men who are not self-reliant. Patty only works in dualities. Reliant attracts non-reliant or whatever. Mm-hmm. She wants her to get out of business mode and into woman mode.
Yeah, she says, stop being so self-reliant, stop being independent, soften up and seem hopeless.
Yes.
Sid agrees. He had to pipe the fuck up.
He said, woof. Yeah. Absolutely, he's more of a feminist than Patty will ever be. Although I feel like she would not ever describe herself as a feminist.
No. She works so hard every day to turn back the clock of feminism.
Yeah, the F slur for her is feminism. Yeah. Yeah. So Gigi sits down to her mini dates, and I'm going to defend her here for the first one. So Yes, she is very abrasive and pretty off-putting, but it's because she wasn't into him. She wasn't feeling it.
But he didn't do anything wrong, and he was just being polite to her. And I wish people would be polite to me. I feel like I endure actual rudeness all the time, every day. And if someone was just like, hey, like, I'm here to film this date, so what's Gigi stand for? You know, like, and she's just like, it's my name. It's my fucking name. Like, okay, bitch. Like, whatever. What the fuck? We just met. Like, I'm curious to hear your full name, but you don't think I deserve to hear that, I guess. So now, like, fuck you.
I guess my bias, it just made me think of this one date back when I was hitting the apps. This one date I went on where we somehow, I don't know how, we both figured out almost in the first 5 or 10 minutes that we just did not like each other. Neither one of us said anything all that out there. We were just doing the basics of like, this is who I am, this is what I work. Right. But we were just not feeling the vibe equally. And we almost sat there just almost openly annoyed with each other. And then basically 45 minutes on the dot, he's like, well, I have a thing. And I was like, okay. And we just walked away and no pretense.
Yeah. No exchange of information. No, like, this was nice and maybe we'll see you again. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I doubt that you two were rude to each other on that date. Like, I just don't see the need for rudeness, and I thought she was very rude.
That's true. Yeah, it wasn't, we weren't being rude. We were just, like, immediately figured out this was
I just
not
think
for
like
us.
It's, this is already, going on a show to go on a date and be filmed is a vulnerable and humiliating position to be on, especially on this show where you're hired as a sexy decoy. You're not the main person. You're not, you know, going to get the good edit. You're just a date. You could look as stupid as they want you to look. And to just like be cruel to that person, I think is like beyond the pale for me.
Yeah, true. She goes on a second date and Patty is watching in the background with Reza, her former co-star of Shaws of Sunset, and they say that this is a disaster. But then the third guy comes out and they have a nice vibe. They're getting into more serious topics. She talks about how she had her kid through a sperm donor and he says he was adopted, and it's going pretty well.
Yeah, she opens up a little and like lets her guard down a little. And it's nice because you actually can see the benefit of something like that. Like, this was kind of the only like little nugget of anything I got really out of this episode.
Yeah, but she passed the test, so she gets the prize of seeing the photo of who she'll be set up with for a master date. And the first thing she says is that he's good looking, but he would annihilate me in bed. I was like, Gigi,
yeah,
like,
that fear again.
Her wait
dick
to
fear.
See what that dick does. Like, just wait a second here.
Yeah, and you have so much ability to slow down and stop things with a normal person who's not a violent criminal. But yeah, I pray for healing for her.
Me too. I know. Well, Patty, rather than praying for healing, she took a more proactive approach. This is when she got out the banana. She said, every ex I've ever had has come back for my head. Well, they bleeped it out, but I'm assuming that's what she says, because then she says, do you want me to teach you, and ask for a banana, and a waiter comes running with the banana.
He brings a banana and a carrot to give her two options.
Yeah, I know. And then they cut away and I'm like, okay,
robbery.
I know.
I need to see, if you're gonna say you have the best technique and you're gonna offer to show it to us, like, these producers can go fuck themselves for that.
We're all adults here.
Right. I mean, I guess we were watching this on free cable TV, so I don't know. It might air at like 6 p.m. I have no
idea. The uncut Peacock version has like Patty giving head to a bunch of vegetables.
Well, like, she's gonna be charging these prices. Like, frankly, I want to see what we're paying for here.
Patty, let's see you slob that knob, because you talk a big game about
time to slob.
Yeah, but we see Gigi go on her date with Gabrielle, and they go on a glass blowing date, and I am so jealous, because I've said this before, I don't know if I said it on Patreon or here, but I have watched all four seasons of Blown Away on Netflix, the glass blowing competition show.
It is all four seasons.
It's so good.
I had no idea it was such a long running show.
Oh yeah, I know. I was after season three. There was a year, and I was like, oh, I guess it's not popular enough. And then it was back. I was like, yes,
we are so back, baby.
Mm-hmm. Blazed through 10 episodes in a night.
I'm sure you blazed through.
Yeah, I did. I highly recommend it to anyone who just needs a little gentle show to watch.
It was beautiful. The cups they made were gorge. I definitely wanted to do it as well.
I know. And Gigi just kept saying, oh, you're gonna blow me, right? He's gonna blow me. You know,
I know. Like, it's like, Gigi, stop saying like this guy's gonna suck your dick. It's so stop. Weird.
I know. I was like, also
he didn't like it. He was like being pretty polite about it. Like, you
I
know,
didn't like it.
No, because it was like three or four times. And it's like, you make one awkward joke, we can all let that go. That's just gonna happen. Like, you know, you swung mm-hmm. and you missed. You I didn't know. Get a laugh, and in fact, you made someone uncomfortable. But to come back to that well three, four more times is insane.
Especially when you fear sex more than anything.
Yeah,
you're like obsessed with it.
But we say and do the weirdest things to like bring weird stuff onto ourselves and stuff.
I mean, I know from being a Blown Away aficionado that even the fiery kiln they put in, it's called the glory hole. Wow. So they're always, yeah, so it is,
they know, it's a wink and a nod in the mm-hmm. glass blowing industry.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah.
She leaned too far in, but he was gracious about it, and
yeah,
he took her out to this surprise. I like how they say that he set this up. It's a little table in a garden. It's
extremely small table with a few light entrees on there, like a couple crackers and dip.
Yeah, and she was married for 7 weeks and had to deal with a two-year process to divorce, she tells him.
Yeah, that made me want to kind of tune back in and see like what all happened there.
I know, that is, like, tell us.
That's worse than Kim. No. What was Kim's? Like 72 days. I mean, yeah, it's giving unstable, I think, when someone says they've had a marriage that short. And I guess Gigi was maybe like a bit of a hero for Lala in the sperm bank donor child department, because I know they know each other and they actually remind me a lot of each other, so I wonder if this was like the first person she knew that did that.
She got Lala hooked up with that cryobank sponsorship.
Right.
Yeah, so we now cut to Justin on his dates. He goes first on a date with Carla, the competitive realtor. Yeah, and this is when he asks her age. That was the weirdest thing, where he made that weird face to her. And that's when I also realized that when Gigi was going on his dates, they were watching the whole time and critiquing her and like yelling through the screen, you know, Patty. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then when Justin's on his date, no one's critiquing it. He's left alone.
Yeah, you're right. He's completely alone. It's filmed like another day. No one's around watching the tapes or anything. And then he just gets to do like a few phone calls with Nick while Nick's driving, being yeah. driven by Natalie Joy, a very pregnant Natalie Joy.
A very young pregnant Natalie Joy, I know. And yeah, all he does is ask if they got along, and he asks if he saw any red flags, and Justin says yes, that she hasn't dated in a year. That's her big red flag. Like, yeah. You are picky, my man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just didn't like each other. And it was exactly like you said with your date, where they're just like, well, she just says like, okay, I've got to get the check. And then I'm off. And they're like, well, nice to meet you. Like, no overture to like, add me on Instagram. Like, maybe I'll see you around. Like, not even mm-hmm. like a soft like rejection, but just like truly like, it was nice meeting you, aka yeah. it wasn't. And like, I hope I never cross paths with you again.
Yeah. And this is maybe an unpopular opinion, but when I was going on dates from the apps, I found those experiences to be healing, to just have these experiences that like, I was like, there's nothing that particularly went wrong. Nothing that went right. It was basically neutral. And
right. But just no attraction. Like
but mutually just, okay, mm-hmm. we can just walk away and no sweat. Yeah. I just spent an hour of my time. It's all good.
Yeah. I hate it. I hate to see the dynamic of like this kind of man where they're like, life is just a Tinder swipe for them. And they're just like, no, too old, too fat, too successful.
Oh, I feel like this isn't even a Tinder swipe. This is like a Instagram model DM situation.
Yeah, but like just the way he dismisses every woman at his own admission. Like I hate that. I find it extremely repulsive. It's like, why do you think you are good at all? Worthy of anyone? I haven't seen any evidence to that.
Ugh, I know. The fact that the woman's like, my insecurities are that like I'm not good enough and I can't perform in bed and all these things. And he's like, well, my problem is my bar is just too high. You know, yeah. No woman really meets me at my level, if you know what I mean.
Literally,
29-year-old failed bachelor finance man.
Yeah, like a barely employed guy who's cute, but like nothing to write home about, in my opinion. Like I you know, he's a bachelor contestant. He's not the bachelor. He's not, you know, the leading man. He's just a guy in LA, and he's like, I will never be able to meet my Cinderella because like I'm just too perfect. And my mommy always says, like, how are you going to find another girl as good as me? You know?
Yeah.
And I say, I won't, mommy. I can't.
I know. Just a girl who's hot, funny, smart, not too serious.
But... young, perfect family, no damage, no baggage, like Christian, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes.
That always freaks me out when people say, I need someone from a good family. I'm like, are you saying?
So scary.
No such trauma? What does that even mean?
How is it her fault if her family sucks? How is that her fault at all? Like,
and also, that creates some of the best people. And you're looking at two of them right here. You're listening.
I mean, seriously, like, it's a huge asset when someone has, like, a family that, like, could actually potentially help you in different ways in your life. Financially, raise a kid, watch a kid. Have a house that you can go house it. All those things are obviously assets. We don't need to say that out loud, though, because it's really mean to the people whose family is all, like, in jail or whatever. Dead.
Fucked up. Yeah.
Fucked
dead.
Up.
Whatever. Yeah. I know. And, yeah, just the... also, it's just... it creeps me out, too, on the level of, like, I want a clean slate, you know? Just want to... a woman who's pure.
Hell yeah.
Hasn't been tainted.
I'm looking for impressionable.
No daddy issues, you know what I mean?
Innocent.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, that's where we leave him, and Nick asks if he wants to go on a date with Becca, the fun travel agent. And they head out to the beach, and she goes, you set all this up. It's like a beautiful little, well, how would you describe this on the beach? Like
just an umbrella, really, with some refreshments underneath it.
It was like one of those, like, I don't know. I'm just like,
right on the side of like a volleyball court at like Venice Beach or something. I mean, it was fine.
I wanted to be, I love a good picnic.
Well, yeah, it's better than where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've also seen like there's companies that are like, we do professional picnic setups, and it seemed like
that's in the Instagram land of LA, you know. You can have your little charcuterie picnic, Love Shack fancy, umbrella, Wayfair volleyball situation.
That's I feel like that would heal me. I feel like that's what I need.
Well,
right
yeah,
now.
I mean, like, well, let's fly down. Probably any brewery would offer that. You can play cornhole. Get an umbrella, you get your own seat, a little picnic table.
I guess I just need some sun on my face and some endorphins in my system. But they sit down and she tells them that she doesn't drink and asks if that's all right with him. And he says,
no. He's like, that's not a deal breaker. But then to the camera, he's like, it is honestly a deal breaker because like I socialize and drink all the time. That's my main thing that I do. So yeah.
He tried to come up with a fancy way of saying that. He said, it's something that's incorporated into my lifestyle.
Socially. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah. And so now instead of the dynamic of like a mutual rejection, this is a dynamic of like a one-sided attraction. another dynamic I hate to see on TV of a woman being like, he's cute, oh my god, like maybe this will be something, and him just being like, when will this be over?
Yeah, I don't know, I thought he seemed kind of into her,
like he could talk to her and she was like one step closer to his physical type, but no, like when they like have that awkward like almost kiss and he was like, ooh.
I know, but you know what I couldn't figure out if he was joking or not, because she talks about how she's a travel agent, and so she's like, ha ha ha, I could plan our whole honeymoon, you know, and so he asks where they would go, and she's like, oh, you know, Greece and Italy, and then he says that he's saving Greece for his fiance, his future fiance. I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was kind of him to not make her look stupid by, you know, having those jokes, just being like, I get that this is just a joke, so I'll joke along, and I don't need to say that'll never fucking happen, I'm not gonna marry you, you psycho bitch.
Like, yeah,
I appreciate that he was just like, haha, yeah, Greece will be beautiful, and what I hope to go there one day as well with my fiance. He yeah. was a good sport about this date.
Yeah, he joked, they played cornhole. I also couldn't tell if he was joking about being on a cornhole league. I don't, was that
yeah,
a joke?
Yeah, he was joking.
Okay, because Americans love cornhole.
Right. Yeah, no, I think he fancies himself quite a funny guy. Like, he has, like, he would describe himself as, like, a dry, sarcastic, intelligent, witty sense of humor.
Right.
And he loves to just, like, throw girls for a loop by being like, well, actually, I'm in a cornhole league. Funny you say that, when's the honeymoon? Like, you know, he just thinks he's, like, really funny.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, when I say Americans love cornhole, I also love cornhole. I just, it's my exact pace of sport.
Great.
I don't want any faster, more involved.
Well, you could have a cornhole all to yourself for like $25.
No one wants to play with me, okay? I have a bocce ball set, and all I want to do is go to the park.
I'll bocce with you. I'd love to bocce at the park with you.
Well,
if you'll ever allow me to visit you again.
You're on the other side of the country, okay? You are welcome anytime. And
except for, you know, when.
When? What are you referring to?
I'm referring to the Tom and Jack Summit.
Oh, I was like, when did I not invite you to my place? Yeah.
You were like, I don't think that's a very good idea.
Yeah, guys, so just very briefly, Jax Taylor, Tom Schwartz, Tom Sandoval are going to be down the street from me, actually, this weekend, and they'll be doing a appearance at this club. I cannot pay, like, $200 to...
No, okay, first of all, it's $40 for general admission. And if you want the... I'm sure they've sold out of these things by now, but the like private dinner with them was like $120. It's not $200. You could go for $40 and probably meet them. And I really, really pray that like God finds it in himself to turn your heart towards the right answer, which is to go.
I think a better investment would just be to show up at Jack's Studio City, like fly myself down. Show up and I'll probably be there.
Do that haggard crawl from Jax's Studio City to Tom to Schwartz and Sandy's.
The cursed crawl, yeah, absolutely.
The cursed crawl, but it's the triple whammy. Like, you're not going to get all three of them in the same place on like on any given night in West Hollywood. Like, they're going to be there and they're going to be on. They're going to be on one.
They'll be, when you said that, I just pictured Sandoval's little dance moves. I'm going to turn towards the light, okay? I cannot.
Oh, you're making a big mistake. But anyway. You got sidetracked once again.
Anyhow, once again. But they are still, so Justin and Becca, they're wrapping up their date. And she asks him, like, what are his deal breakers? And he says, well, look, I just need to be more accommodating. He kind of hints, like, look, if you slip up, like, I'm out, you know?
Yeah, he was like, I'm unforgiving, my standards are extremely high, and that's just really my problem. And she's kind of has to internalize that, like, oh, okay, like, you're already kind of being like, let's face it, babe, like, you are no prize.
Yeah, if you're a catch like me, you would get it, you know? Yeah. The type of standards I have to have. But he tells Nick after on FaceTime that he sees potential. But we learn later in the Chiron that he does not see potential. They went on a second date and then they decided to just be friends. We get this little update printed across the screen. No update for Gigi.
Right.
I rewinded it. I was like, did I miss something?
Because she gave in person that she only saw sexy Italian guy as a friend and that she would not be continuing with him. So I guess that was like our bow on that storyline.
Yeah. On that potential beautiful love story, what could have been, but what was not.
Mm. Love slipped through our fingers once again on Millionaire Matchmaker.
This is no longer Millionaire Matchmaker. This is Matchmaker. Sorry. With Patty Stanger.
The Matchmaker, I thought.
Matchmaker with Patty and Nick.
Nick. Oh my god, Nick. He's gonna be there week after week.
Yeah.
He's taking over the world. Like, I would not be fucking surprised if he's headlining Coachella next year and hosting the Oscars the way he is getting press coverage and booked.
He is one of the most, I mean, people are calling him the most successful person to ever come out of Bachelor Nation.
Dear God. Because he just has this smarmy energy that's like so self-serious and so arrogant. Like, I just find him so off-putting. What are people seeing in him?
I don't know. They don't have enough mansplaining in their lives. I don't know. Like, I mean, he's been...
I'd love to hear what a test audience like says about him. Like, do they think he's like trustworthy? Do they think he's intelligent? Do they think he's charismatic? Like, literally, what is he bringing to the table?
I know. I think I saw the headlines of... It was like a New York Times feature where it was like... Nick, you know, isn't for everyone, but you gotta admit his advice is good. It's like,
I don't have to admit that.
No.
You will not waterboard that out of me.
No. You need to be also to be a love expert, you need to have a track record in your life of a successful love life. And I don't think nabbing a 20-year-old Instagram model in your 40s is success.
But to call a lot me crazy. Of men. That honestly probably is the pinnacle of success.
But his audience is mostly women.
Right. That's what I don't get. That's what I don't get. Because I can see how a man would look up to him and be like, oh, he's a good looking guy with a young, beautiful wife or whatever.
Of course.
But what are the ladies seeing? Why would you trust someone like that who's dating someone 20 years younger than him?
Okay. And I'm actually going to put this out to the audience. I'm saying this genuinely, and I'm not going to judge you or harp on you. If you are a Nick Viall fan, let me know what it is about him. Like, I'm just curious because he is not for me. I don't get it. But I don't know. Let me know. Like, it's a cool thing on Instagram. Just like DM.
It's a genuine question that we are posing. I'm
not trying to be an asshole.
What is the X factor here? Yeah.
Yes. Because, you know, I like to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on, what everyone's watching, you know?
Yeah. You've been young.
And I'm very triggered by his success in the podcasting field.
Oh, no, the trigger.
Well, he's making so much money from that podcast. Definitely well over six figures.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think a platform... Just having face recognition is like kind of all it takes.
No, it doesn't, because every member of Bachelor Nation has a podcast. Like, they all have podcasts.
Yeah. And they all have a podcast. And I guess he has something more, maybe more ambition or more like.
By far the most successful.
He is. Maybe he's just put more work into it. Anyway, we're kind of getting going circles now.
I'm like sorry for roping you into my group therapy once again. Sorry. Ooh. Always making it about myself. I'm just a little insufferable. Maybe me and Nick aren't so different after all. Okay, let's wrap it up. We love you guys and we'll see you next week.
And we'll see you on the Patreon if you're cool.
Oh yeah, patreon.com/it's become a whole thing. We're actually really cool on there.
We're putting so much content out on there. Like, you guys are missing out if you're not on there. But literally, anyway, we love you no matter what.
Okay, I'll go grab me some more.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.